And there was a firefight!
Why did you touch me?
You killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law!
I see you are practiced in worshipping things that fly.
Hulkamania is running wild like it's never ran before.
It's over 9,000!
What?
Rise before Zod.
Bitches leave.
Kneel before Zod.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
Remember, there's always madness. Madness is the emergency exit.
Here it comes! A little going away present for you!
All right, welcome everybody to Capes and Scowls, episode number 9.
Ooh, getting it right for once.
Yeah, man, every once and again, we do shit right. I'm Tim.
I'm Leander.
And I'm Lou.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
I'm doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, eh?
A lot of exciting things.
There's a lot to talk about today. We might not even get to any of this fucking news.
We're going to have a two-hour show.
What? Episode 9, part 1, Catching Fire.
And people aren't ready for that.
Slinging fire. Katniss Everdeen. So, as usual, you can find us on the Facebooks. You can find us at capesandscowlspodcast.com. And you can email us at capesandscowlspodcast@gmail.com. Did everybody have a good holiday? Good. We haven't, you know, talked since then, so.
Yeah, it was good. I got to meet Tim's parents, and I don't know
when you say that.
I feel like our relationship's going too fast, Tim. I just wanted to just go ahead and say that.
Thanksgiving's a big step.
It is.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he introduced me to his wife and kids. I mean, it's a lot. For
Leander.
One person
it's a lot
to deal
to
with.
In.
It's a lot.
Leander, you've already met my wife and kids, and this is not a relationship.
Oh, yeah, she made you coffee.
How many times do I have to tell you this is not
a
relationship?
Wait, I specifically remember us having, and a sandwich. She made you like a four-course breakfast the first time you met her, at least.
I know. We've done most of our podcasts at your house with your wife there, so I know. It's called jokes, people. It's called jokes.
Yeah, but I forgot. That was an old continuity.
You know? That's right.
Yeah, this is the revamped.
The old episode.
In the new 52 version of the podcast.
You just met his wife.
You just met her.
This is my first time.
Okay.
Yeah.
We had to redo the origin story.
Yes, exactly. Right. It's a new
origin. Everybody's confused because we've talked to people on Facebook and we've met some of our fans in person. And if you're confused, this podcast has been going almost 5 years now and our old continuity got wiped out in a way, and we're probably going to put some of it up, some of the good stuff up from the vault kind of thing.
The vault
will probably come up at
greatest hits.
First episode of Lou.
Double live.
My first episode, I didn't say much.
Yeah, that's why.
That's why you want to put it up?
Let's put it back up.
Remember the days before we had to listen to this guy?
This fucking guy.
Those were the days.
Those was them days.
First appearance. It's worth a lot of money.
It is worth a lot of money.
Yeah, man. It's climbing.
Mm-hmm.
Just need Lou to do more things.
Yeah.
Then we'll get some real value.
I'll go on the Superliminal Films podcast.
Oh,
there it is.
Go.
Raise your stock.
There you go.
Speaking of stocks.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
So I think we have to talk about...
Yeah, let's talk about our
Andrew,
obsession.
You can go to lunch, but going to talk about Hollywood Stock Exchange
for a minute.
Good,
I'm going to play Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Well, keep
Marvel
the sound
Puzzle
down,
Quest
right?
Is awesome. You don't have to tune out that bad.
No, of course I'm not. Come on, I'm listening.
He is. He just opened it up Puzzle Quest on his phone.
It's going to be great when he's like, Doombots! No, you don't yell at Doombots. They're pretty easy to kill.
No.
But anyways, go ahead, Lou.
So Hollywood Stock Exchange, for anyone who doesn't know, is an awesome game. It's online. It's like a fake... like a fake stock market for movies, and you can buy stocks in actors or movies, and then there's a whole, and TV shows too, but then there's a whole host of other things you can do, kind of like what I imagine you can do in the real stock market, but since I don't have any money, I don't know that for sure, but I imagine you'd be able to do the same things. So I'd been into it, but then I forgot that I had the account, and then I opened it back up, and I showed it to Tim, and then Tim got addicted to it, too.
Yep.
And he had a couple of choice picks for me.
Yeah, let's talk about those picks.
I mean, one worked out well, one didn't work out so well.
What was my good one?
The good one was Khal Drogo.
Oh, yeah.
What's his guy's name? Jason?
Momoa. As an Aquaman.
Yeah, so he's going to be Aquaman, so he had a pretty reasonable stock price. It was about $15. I picked it up, and It's been climbing slowly, but sometimes that's what you want.
And if you buy enough stocks, it doesn't matter. It's like, I bought 10,000 stocks of him, and I quickly made all that money, and I just sell him. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. So that's the winners. My big winners right now, I'll tell you, I got Independence Day. I got in on that right before they announced that they're greenlighting that, which they are. And I think they have, what, Bill Pullman and who else confirmed for that? I'm not sure if you're up on that.
I do not know who's confirmed.
Yeah, I think they definitely have Bill Pullman. They don't have Will Smith. I don't think he's coming back to do it.
But you did hear Will Smith got cast in something.
Yeah, he's in
Suicide Squad. That's right. I think he's Deadshot. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
But that's one of our stories, so we won't talk about that yet.
Okay, we'll table that for a little bit. Toy Story, I took a little bit of a bath on. I bought it at 2:30 and it dove, but I'm almost... Sometimes you just got to hold on to it. It's climbing back up, so people are feeling pretty good about Toy Story 4. And what else? The Stand went from just sort of an in-production, you know, possibility, and then they interviewed the director. I'm not sure who he is at the moment, but they're going to make it 4 movies. And they're going to get some A-listers to do the parts.
That would be fantastic.
And really, I don't know if you guys have read The Stand, but... Yeah,
a million years ago.
You need 4 movies. It's like a 1,500-page book. So,
wait, you don't like your miniseries from the 80s?
I've only heard about.
You've never seen it?
No, I haven't.
If you see it without reading the book, it's watchable. It's not like unwatchable, but the book is so much better.
Because I had fond memories about how scary the It miniseries was. And then I went back and watched that.
And it's not.
No, that does not hold up to the test of time.
Get John Boy or whatever. The dude from the Waltons was like the main guy. Go kill John Boy, will you, Pennywise?
So what is the point of this thing that you're doing with
You're trying to make fake money to see if you're any good at stocks, because people know TV and movies and things way better than the stock market.
Businesses.
So it's just your intuition, and you gotta follow what's hot and what's not. Okay. For example, like things I would never normally buy. I got the girl who's gonna play Harley Quinn, and she's been going up. What the fuck's her name? I don't even remember. Yeah, Momoa's been good. You buy things you like just because you like them, like Christopher Walken. I will always have stock in.
You can do that. You can buy things you like, but
are you in it for fun or are you in it for money? That's the thing you got to ask yourself. Like, for example, there's good things you can buy. Like, I bought Thomas Jane. Right now, he is 6 cents because he's not doing a goddamn thing. The guy who played the Punisher in the Travolta Punisher. But if he does anything ever, I bought him so low, it's just instant money. I bought things like William H. Macy. He's not doing anything. He's like $2. Why not?
William H. Macy is at $2.
He's at $2.40.
That's crazy.
He's gone up 12 cents.
The thing with this is, just like real stocks, it really doesn't matter
if you're good
what
or
they,
not.
It doesn't matter what they actually do. All that matters is the public's perception of if they think it's going to be a good stock.
Here's a good example.
And that's just like real life. I mean, it doesn't matter. A company can lose shitloads of money, but if the public has confidence in it, that means that their stock price goes up.
Hugo Weaving went up because he was talking about possibly showing up in Cap 3.
Okay.
He didn't say he was confirmed, but he said he would consider doing Red Skull again if they asked him to.
Yeah.
Which before he was like, I don't really want to. So he is... jumped up too, and I have 1,000 shares of him. I was like, oh.
What happens if someone dies?
You lose that money. Like,
no, isn't some people?
Oh,
like,
if somebody dies,
yeah.
I don't know.
Like, wouldn't like Robin Williams? If someone had Robin Williams, is it his go
you know,
up or down?
I don't know.
That's a fair question.
I guess it is. There's a lot of FAQs. There's a lot of stuff I haven't looked through. Like another thing, there's also Tim. I don't know if you know this, but there is a transaction fee of 1% for every. Sale every trade you make.
Oh, I did not.
So if you've made less, like if say you gained on a stock, if you've made less than 1% off that, like say you have $1 million in something and you went up $10,000 and you sell it off, that's your transaction charge.
Yeah, you didn't actually make
anything. So you didn't make anything. So that's another thing is like there's nothing for free because in real life you have to pay your bookie or what are they called? Legal bookies? I don't know.
I don't know legal bookies.
Yeah, legal. Whatever they are. Those people who decide what should happen with your money in real
accountants,
life.
Accountants, maybe.
No, not accountants. Accountants are, like, legitimate.
No.
This is just guys like, you gotta buy 1 million shares of IBM, kid. And then they just, like, that was a good idea. Give me 10%. And then they just take your money. I don't know what they're called.
I bought Suicide Squad last week. It was $133 a share. It's up to $151 per share after the Will Smith news and the other news that we'll get into with that.
Making some
Star Wars 7, $311 I paid per share. It's up to $330. Like, that is just going to make you money. James Bond, that's another one that had big news. They signed Batista today to be the villain for the new Bond movie. So the Bond movie's been climbing, and now it's up almost $7 today after that news. So it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, so
like Batista's in Guardians, you're making some good picks. In that. Mm-hmm. Vin Diesel is Groot. He's rumored that he'll be in Inhumans, things like that. Like, and then there's like dumb things like an Akira live action movie that's been off and on for 1,000 years. I bought it anyways because it was like nothing.
Yeah,
they make that. I made a bazillion.
That's the thing. I checked out Shazam, the Shazam movie. That stock was at 1 cent.
Yeah.
Before they decided it was going to happen, and then it went right up to I think $16. Like.
Yep.
But, so what do people need to download to check this out
themselves? They don't want anything. You can just go to the website. It's hsx.com, and then you can just, they give you 2 million Hollywood bucks, so that you could start out with that. And then it's kind of just like you see how savvy you are as an investor in the entertainment world. So for entertainment purposes only, there's no way to get real cash out of it. But
you call 1-800-GAMBLER, I don't think they can help you.
Yeah, they're like, just...
There's no fake hotline for this.
Like, your life is screwed.
I've only lost $7,000 on The Rock since he went up today.
I sold him. But that kind of reminds me, you mentioned Star Wars. How do we feel about the Star Wars trailer?
I know a lot of people don't like it. I'm okay with it at this point, because trailers never actually represent the film. I could take all three of those prequels and probably make a fucking amazing trailer, and you wouldn't know about trade embargoes and all that other bullshit. And you would think, like, this is going to be so good! Double lightsabers! That dude's red and black? I'm confused. Like, I could make an amazing Phantom Menace trailer if I wanted to.
Mm.
But, so I don't give two fucks about the trailer. There's things I like, things I don't like. But ultimately, do I give a shit? No, I don't.
It doesn't really give you much.
Right.
However... The internet just took it and ran with it. It's so good because I think we're enough of like the people who are so hardcore, like, ooh, let's nitpick everything. Right. I think it's so like move the other way. And I've seen so many awesome spoofs. Like they did the George Lucas version of the trailer. Did you see that?
I did not.
Oh, it's over the top. So good. Where they just like, it's all the scenes from the regular trailer, but they add a bunch of CGI banthas, and they just add so much to every scene.
That's great.
And if you guys haven't seen this, you need to just search for the Episode 7 George Lucas version. So there's that, and then there's just... I've seen a couple funny lists of, like, Easter eggs they put in there, but it's completely, like, tongue-in-cheek, and it's, like... It's so good. So everyone just took it and ran with it. But, yeah, it's... I don't think we need to apologize because one of us posted the fake trailer on our website.
Yeah, Lou. What are you thinking?
I'm not going to name any names.
First of all, it didn't matter if it was fake or not. I said, what were your thoughts? It didn't matter if it was fake
That's
or real.
That's true. You covered your bases there.
As far as you know, I knew it was fake when I put it on there.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Mm-hmm. I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
But I fell for it. I watched 2 fake trailers before my brother told me, like, they already announced when they're releasing the actual trailer, so I don't know what you're looking at. I was like, well, I thought they were pretty good. Whoever's making fake trailers out there is like putting some real effort into it.
Yeah, I don't care because I'm just gonna watch it. Like, I'm not even into Star Wars like that. So when this one comes out, it looks just cool enough that I'm gonna waste my time to go watch it. So
that's the spirit.
Yeah. Cautious apathy.
My time is worth that, yes. Preacher, the TV show that AMC wants, is officially, they ordered the pilot. So it's probably going to happen. It's my favorite comic of all time. I'm going to hate the fuck out of this thing. Even if it's like sort of kind of good, like The Walking Dead at times is sort of kind of good, and sometimes it's really good, and sometimes it's garbage. I don't want that for this property, but it's going to debut in 2016 if they pick it up after that pilot. It's written by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, which Evan Goldberg is like his writing partner on everything.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And
They're going to write and direct. And the quote from Seth Rogen, and I think he probably got a lot of this, this is why this is his quote. Garth Ennis is one of our idols, and it's an incredible honor to be working on this. We promise we won't make too many dick jokes and ruin it. That's his direct quote. So he must have got a lot of that, because that's the first thing I said. I'm like, I don't want these people to make this thing. It's not a comedy.
Right.
It has comical moments, but it is not a comedy. It is dark and evil and gruesome. How do you feel about that? You've read Preacher, Lou, right?
Don't ask me that.
Oh, no!
Don't, it's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I get a lot of shit for that. Rightly so.
Well,
I'm like the only person I know who hasn't read Preacher, but
that's okay. I haven't finished Sandman, so it's like equal levels of vertigo awesomeness, I guess. But
it's a kind of thing. I mean, there's so much stuff that there's good stuff coming out now. I want to get to it and read it, and it's just sometimes the classics. There's gaps in your.
It's
in your
hard.
Classics.
You can't read everything. Yeah. Like people are like, you didn't read Sandman. I'm like, yeah, but if you asked me all the other shit, if I listed you all the shit I have read, you'd be like, oh, well, it's not like I was sitting there with my thumb on my. Ass. It's very hard to turn the page that way.
Yeah, and then my first rodeo, pal. But you know,
I've read all these series.
There's a lot of books out there.
So I don't know how I feel about this, but Preacher is dark, edgy, gruesome. Violent, horrible shit happens. As demonstrated by Walking Dead, they can do a lot of the violence, but I just don't see it. I don't know. I can't see it being dark enough. So I stick with, I'm going to watch every episode and hate every fucking second of it, probably.
Yeah. That's how it goes sometimes.
Especially if it's like, oh, this is a hit, we're going to order 7 more seasons of this thing. And it's like, no, it didn't go that long, man.
Right.
You can't fucking do that shit. Anyways, beyond that, beyond Preacher, we go to the Suicide Squad movie news. They revealed the cast. Will Smith is Deadshot. Jared Leto from 30 Seconds to Mars is the Joker. Tom Hardy is a character called Rick Flagg. Margot Robbie is Harley Quinn. Jai Courtney is Boomerang. Cara Delevingne, I can't read on my phone, is the Enchantress.
What the levels of what you're about to say her name? The Enchantress.
There it is. I was having issues.
All right.
You talk a lot, kid? No, not really. This podcast is only every 2 weeks. So, yeah, that's the people. It's going to be filmed in 2015 in Toronto.
Yeah.
Good for you, Canada.
Yeah, that's where you're from.
Yeah, no, it's right down the street. It's going to come out in August of 2016, directed by David Ayer. Are we excited for this? Because if you think about it, after Superman, Batman, it's like the first movie, I think. One of the first DC movies. It's kind of a bold pick to be that soon.
I agree, completely.
But I like it. I'm very excited for it. I like the cast. Will Smith's going to make the budget go way the fuck up. Does he still draw like that? Will people just be like, it's Will Smith, going?
No.
I don't think he does.
No, that movie with his son was horrible.
Yeah.
And no, you know what? That's what it is. People don't like his kids.
Yeah.
And his wife's kind of, I don't know.
She's all right.
She's kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, that movie, what was it called? It's the one where they get blown out the spaceship and then they fight CGI animals all the
way. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to see his kids after Karate Kid. I'm just saying.
No, that was like, it wasn't even karate, man. Jackie Chan's Chinese.
Yeah.
He does kung fu. Kung fu. No karate. They even mentioned that in the movie, but they still had to call it the Karate Kid.
The Karate Kid.
I guess Jackie Chan doesn't draw anymore either.
I guess not.
Yeah. No, I don't think Will Smith is going to draw like that. And I don't know. It's a very weird pick because no one knows Suicide Squad except for us. And those of us that listen to this podcast.
Yeah, and I don't even know it.
Yeah, so I think Harley Quinn's big right now, so that's good.
Sure.
But it's basically Harley Quinn has to be the best actress ever because she has to completely carry that entire movie.
I don't agree with that.
I agree 100%.
I don't agree with that because, first off, people do know Suicide Squad because they've been very prominent in Arrow. It's not going to be the same people, but they know Suicide Squad and the idea of it's like, oh, villains and blood, go. Or we'll blow your fucking head off.
Mm.
That kind of thing. The whole Running Man kind of thing. But I don't agree with that at all. Because I think Harley Quinn being in a movie is huge. Mm-hmm. People will just go see it for that.
Yes.
Jared Leto has, like, an insane amount of followers just because of who he is. People love that band. And he is a good actor. He just won some award.
What band?
30 Seconds to Mars, the singer. Okay. He was in Fight Club. He was the blonde-haired guy that gets the living shit kicked out of him the whole movie. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he just does stuff every once and again, but every time he does a movie, it's like a hit. And he just won, like, a Golden Globe or something, like, Best Actor. He played a transvestite or something. What was that movie called? Anyways, he's red hot right now. Plus Will Smith doing, like, Hancock 2 over here. So it might be something people actually want to see.
I'm going to go with Harley Quinn's going to have to carry that movie. That's just my personal opinion.
I mean, she could carry the movie, but I don't think she has to.
I think she will have to, is my personal opinion. Right. Personal opinion doesn't have to be true.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Star Wars trailer. Well, let's keep moving then. Marvel and Star Wars characters are under consideration for Kingdom Hearts 3. The video game that takes Square Enix characters mm-hmm. and Disney characters, throws them together in this universe. They said Tai Yasumi, which is the game designer for the game, which there hasn't really been a Kingdom Hearts game.
It's been a while.
It's been almost 10 years of when this actually comes out. Like, there's been other things, but not a true sequel.
Okay.
He says he's excited to use those properties, and it's very difficult to choose who he would use and who he wouldn't use, and he's not just going to just throw them in. Okay. Wait, how do you feel about that, though?
What are we talking about again?
We're talking about Marvel and or Star Wars characters showing up in Kingdom Hearts.
I'm not against it, per se. It's going to be weird. I mean, it was good just the way it was.
Yeah, you don't think they need
There's still tons of characters left that they haven't even touched on mm-hmm. that they don't need Marvel and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Is my feeling.
Who would they throw in? Like Boba Fett. Like, hey, it's Boba Fett.
I don't know. I've never actually played
Wolverine,
the game.
I hate him, but
I've seen people play it. It's got like kind of a dark Tim Burton-y feel, right?
Uh-huh. Yes. So,
like, what characters go best with that?
Like, but that's the thing, like Mickey and Donald and Goofy, like you don't think that at all, but like they're like main characters.
Yeah, that's perfect.
So. But even so, I mean like a Disney Christmas Carol, that was pretty dark.
Sure. Yeah.
Those big dog guys who bury Uncle Scrooge at the end.
Big dog guys, they're creepy.
Definitely.
So there's definitely creepy...
Old Disney stuff is actually really
awesome. There's
creepy
Disney characters.
Their Sleepy Hollow one was kind of dark for children. Yeah, I remember liking that. I liked Mr. Toad?
Mm-hmm.
Wind in the Willows, but they called it like Mr. Toad and something.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that I'm against is that they still need to make a great next sequel. I think... Adding Marvel and Star Wars is just like they need one more sequel and then they can do that. That's what I would say.
I don't know. I think they should just cherry pick the corner, like the lesser known characters who would make sense. That would be cool. But like if it was like the biggest Marvel, if it was like, you know, if it was Wolverine,
right,
and Mickey, Darth Vader,
and Darth Vader, if it's Wolverine, Darth Vader, and Mickey, then like
I wouldn't be happy about
kinda
that.
Kind of stupid, but
right,
you know, they could find some characters that would make sense, and I think that would be cool. Mm-hmm. Having no, you know, sentimental attachment to the game, having never played it, but
That's unfortunate.
I'll get around to it one day when I retire.
One of these days,
play all the games I wanted to play.
It's really good.
Sometimes you just gotta take a day. I had a day. When I was sick, actually, all I did was play old Super Nintendo games.
Yeah.
I beat Castlevania 4. I was like, I love that game. I never beat it. Let's fucking download it and play it.
Nice.
So I did. This next thing, it's funny because we work at a store, so we hear what people want. This was news that happened, I think, 2 days ago. Gem and the Holograms is getting a new comic from IDW. I've already had like 5 people request it. And it's just been announced. People love their 80s bullshit properties.
Mm-hmm.
It will get a movie as well.
Wow.
But this comes out before the movie. It's going to be released in October of 2015. Or no, that's the movie. The comic comes out in March of 2015. This is all due to IDW extending their license agreement with Hasbro. Because they wanted to keep doing Transformers and G.I. Joe comics. So now they've come to an agreement. They got Gem. Who knows what else they'll get? I mean, IDW has the magic ones as well, because Hasbro owns Wizards of the Coast.
Right.
It's going to be written by Kelly Thompson and illustrated by Ross Campbell. I really don't know those people. The art looked okay, but, you know, that was this big thing that people were like, Jim, I must have it! Yes! I think all guys our age, probably Seth or Jim, if you had a sibling. I think we've gone over that.
Or not.
Or not.
You only have time for so many cartoons before school starts, mm-hmm. so it's really just a matter of programming.
If Jim's on,
it's on. If you got to watch Jim, you got to watch Jim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to watch cartoons, period.
I mean, look, if it's Rainbow Bright, you're going to turn it off. But if it's Jim, you can get through Jim.
Yeah, Jim's because just enough.
You gotta.
Because the Misfits were on it.
Yeah, you gotta eat your oatmeal and go to school before G.I. Joe comes on.
Rock bands, if you're gonna get into rock bands, Jim's a good place to start.
There you go.
You have nothing else to go with.
If you watch Jim, because it still comes on one of these channels, it's just the music is so god awful. Like, yeah, catchy theme song, but everything else, it's just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, 80s, ooh.
Yeah. It's like Alvin and Chipmunks.
Yep. It's just like that. Aren't it?
But with purple hair. And glitter.
You actually left it like that? All right.
This is an interesting thing. You reviewed last week, Lou, Punisher number 12, correct?
Yeah.
There is a big stink about Punisher number 12.
Really?
Something that you probably didn't pick up on, and I didn't even hear about it until I read this. Nathan Edmondson is the writer. He's that guy that we're like, he does good work and he's really passionate, yeah, but he doesn't quite get anywhere. And I'm liking his deathlock, but he's doing your Punisher. There's a scene where the cast of the upcoming Fantastic Four movie kind of blows up and dies. There's a scene where they show them sitting around saying that they're waiting for the Johnny Storm guy, whoever plays him.
Oh, yeah.
There's like a reference, and the one dude's wearing a Four shirt, and it's supposed to, it looks like the cast members.
Okay.
And like sitting around like, he'd be late for the sequel or something, and like all this shit, and the building blows up.
Right.
So they caught a lot of shit. They're like, what the fuck are you doing having this movie, which Marvel doesn't own,
mm-hmm.
all their cast members die in this fucking
book. Oh, that's what that was. Okay. I thought he was
Yeah, because you're probably like, what the fuck is the point of that?
You're like, okay, some Hollywood, he's just showing the carnage in the city because mm-hmm. all these Hollywood bigwigs got blown up, but I didn't realize that it was, it did seem a little out of place.
Yeah.
He has since tweeted that he didn't write it to the scene to put the movie down. He's looking forward to it. All this damage control.
Right, kind of course, stuff. Of course.
But it's probably like, dude, just fucking write this. It'll be great. I'm sure they were like, dude, just
we'll
do
figure
this.
It out later. We'll figure it out.
But it caused a huge fucking thing. So
it's pretty lame.
It's a pretty petty shot. A lot of people were like, half of the people were like, that's low, Marvel. You're idiots. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, even if it was just him,
right.
they greenlit it. It doesn't matter.
Right, yeah.
Half the people are like, you're idiots, that's just cheap. But everybody else is like, thank God somebody said what everybody else was thinking. That movie looks like garbage, blah, blah, blah. But we will see.
That's pretty dark, though. I mean, to have real life actors
die in
your scene.
It looks like
that's like, I'm all for, taking shots at the other guy. But that's a little morbid, I think.
But it's your own guys, technically.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, one more news story, and then we can move on to reviews. And it's also DC movie related, which was officially Guillermo del Toro has turned in an official screenplay for Justice League Dark, which right now is being called Dark Universe, and you can buy it on the Hollywood Stock Exchange.
Yeah.
But it's not saying it's official. It's not saying as far as like this is gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
But he turned it in, and he said he wanted to use Constantine, Zatanna, Deadman, and Black Orchid as his major characters. So he knows the characters, and he is amazing at horror movies and just dark, weird, twisted shit. So we will see. It doesn't have a schedule up, but people are just raving about it, talking about it. So I think it's one of the more important DC movies that'll come out. Because it draws on horror. You have Constantine already on TV. People are learning about Constantine if they've never read Hellblazer or anything else. Or they don't remember the Keanu Reeves movie, which isn't like Hellblazer anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems... They have so much stuff in the works, you know. And it just seems
they're
like...
They're late to the party.
It does. It seems like they have all the stuff ready and they got things in the works and so many movies coming up, but they don't really have that hit to bank on yet.
Right.
I mean, they got Batman and Superman coming out. Like,
I think that's why they're leading after that with Suicide Squad, because of Harley Quinn's popularity. Because if they wait 4 years, people might be so fucking sick of her.
Yeah, true. Like,
I'm kind of tired of Deadpool.
Yeah. He definitely has ups and downs, because in like 2008 he had 5 titles,
mm-hmm.
and people I think got burned out of it, because it's like, okay, enough Deadpool.
Right.
Then they rebooted them and they got Brian Posehn and and they have that guy Dunn doing the special like mini series of it, but then that's all there was for a while. But now I think it's starting to ramp back up again, where you're getting more and more and more Deadpool. So Deadpool and Harley Quinn, I think, are very similar in that regard.
You're right.
In that they're the wacky ones. And so
it's the color scheme, I guess.
It's people who've never read a comic want the t-shirt or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they recognize the character. But then you saturate it so much that people are like, okay, we get it. Harley Quinn. Then they cease to become like a real character.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're right in that they do need to capitalize on that.
And then if it's an amazing movie, it's like, I won't mind seeing her again, even if I'm kind
of
burned
sure.
out. Mm-hmm. Like, I will go see a Deadpool movie in the theater.
Right.
I am burned out, but I'll go.
Right.
But the way you talk about it, it's like, oh, Marvel's doing all this stuff, and they got this stuff that people are actually excited about because there's a precedence for how great Marvel movies are.
Right.
And then on the other hand, you're talking, DC's got this coming out and coming out that, and I'm like, yeah, well, let's see. Let's wait and see.
Right.
You know, like, is this worth talking about?
If,
you know?
If superhero movies don't completely crap out, which I don't think they really will, even though there's a million of them, just because they tend to be the top movies of the year. As long as that continues, Marvel's going to have less big properties down the line when DC's bigger shit starts coming out.
It
could work out that way.
There's got to be a ceiling for the movie popularity.
I don't think they'll go away, but they're...
I don't think they'll go away.
They'll stop going together.
They're going to go out of vogue. Mm-hmm. It might take... You know, you really. I guess the beginning of this whole movement was kind of the first Iron Man. Was a very surprise hit. So from that until you're going to have the bigger actors, either contracts will be up or whatever. They're not going to want to do it forever.
Right.
And then I think the
quality.
You're going to get crappy actors, or once the iconic actors are replaced or something.
That's what's going
to. Or they start rebooting the movies again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to. I think it's going to. That's going to go out of style.
Yeah.
So, but it depends on the quality. If the DC movies are really up to snuff with the Marvel stuff, then it'll have a good long run. But
yeah, I think that's even just getting to what you said. Like when you talked about Suicide Squad earlier, I was like, all right, that sounds like it might be a great idea, but we don't even know if Batman and Superman is going to suck. If that sucks, I'm not going to go see Suicide Squad because I don't have any trust.
I don't. But on the other hand, though, because it's like, DC's characters have been in movies longer because, like, Superman movies, like, he's already had
Batman
a full
movies.
He's had 3 reboots already. Superman has. There's been Batman movies since the 60s. So I don't disagree with the fact that, well, let's try something you're not familiar with, because every Superman reboot is another origin of Superman. Like, how many times do we want to see that? Same thing with Batman. So they're taking something that's not been done over and over again since the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, how old is Ben Affleck? Like, they don't have him for a long-term plan, I don't feel. Like, maybe one solo movie for him, and, like, that's it. Because he's, like, what, 40s? Late 40s, maybe? Mid-40s?
Yeah, he looked good, though.
Yeah, absolutely, he looks good.
But
I mean,
you know, he's an actor.
Just,
so.
You know.
It's his job. It's his goddamn job.
Right.
Get to the gym. Write a script. Get back to the gym.
That's awesome. Well, any new job, then?
Yeah.
Well, you're the one with all the mud on your face. What's up with the mud on your face?
What?
Are you burying bodies?
No.
Come clean.
Oh, he didn't.
No, I just had to go out into the marsh today. That's all it was.
Xander returns from the marsh for mysterious reasons.
He turns into the swamp thing.
We're fixing the Osprey platforms out in the marsh that tipped over from the season. All the wind and the rain pushes them over sometimes, so we're fixing that. So I got muddy.
I liked you better as Swamp Thing. The real answer was
the real answer was
took all the mystery away.
Oh my gosh.
Don't worry about why I have mud on my face, because I was in the marsh.
I'm always in the marsh.
I'm always in the marsh over here.
Trying to get some education. You guys make jokes.
Check out a special article written by Leander on our Facebook page about the marsh.
Leander, we have a link to you. So it'd be like Leander's Conservatory. Like, in addition to the podcast, I'm also a very active member of the wildlife community.
We could have like real stuff. It's like, what's that site? IO9. Like, they always have like science stuff, and it's like comics.
Yeah,
like, science. Neil deGrasse Tyson thinks this.
Yeah, that's it. That's
Spider-Man
pretty much...
feels this way. It's like, that's how that site is.
That's it.
Well, who wants to review first? You got a stack. How many you got?
What? I'm sure not all of these are real.
I mean, they're pretty tangible.
Leander always just slams a pile of books down and then decides later.
Yeah. All right, let's do it. You ready?
Sure.
All right. I guess we'll start with Captain America and the Mighty Avengers.
It is on top.
So Captain America, so one of the things I said in the very beginning when he became Captain America was that I wasn't going to like him unless he was a leader, period, right? So he starts his career and then Axis happens.
Mm-hmm.
And he's everything I want opposite. So...
Oh, wait. that sentence started very positive and then you just...
He
switched
is,
it around.
But is it like...
He's a leader beyond all leaders in Marvel history right now.
Right.
But he is doing it in the way that is completely not Captain America. So, like, basically, he's aggressive. He doesn't care what anyone says. He's taking charge. You don't tell him anything. He tells you everything. And you don't ask him to do anything. He'll tell you when he's going to do it. But this is all because of the Axis situation that he's acting this way. So, like, I get to see, like, this awesome what-I-want leader.
Mm-hmm.
But he's all screwed up, unfortunately. Mm. Now he's being like, you know.
Is your concern once Axis is over, he's like, no one's going to want him to lead?
No, that's not my concern. My concern is that he's going to return to a non-leader character. Because the idea of Axis is that everything's switched over, right? And you are what you really aren't. So if he is a leader now, that means he really was never a leader to begin with. And so he's going to go back to being a non-leader, is my feeling.
I mean, he's that logic, yes, but he'll go maybe back he'll
to,
learn.
He'll go back to just being a support character.
That would be so dumb for them.
And so that's kind of how I see his switch. He went from support to lead, and that's what his switch was.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm worried that when Axis is over, he's going to switch back to support. Nonetheless, the idea behind Captain America and the Avengers, Mighty Avengers, is that... And Luke Cage is also one of the people that got switched over, and Luke Cage is also in Mighty Avengers. His switch is... So he's always, like, non-profit, and let's do things, let's do it for the right reasons, and let's lend superheroes out for the community, right?
Oh, now he's greedy.
Now he's completely greedy, 100%. Oh. It's all money, all day. And the other Mighty Avengers apparently weren't fighting against Red Onslaught at the time. So they have no idea why Luke Cage is being this way, and they have no idea why Captain America is being this way either. But the idea is that Captain America and Tony Stark, superior Iron Man, are working together, and they're trying to cleanse the heroes that just don't get the new age of heroism. And so the idea is that Captain America is going to take out the Mighty Avengers and shut them down. Because the way he sees it is that these are so-called Avengers who just do a lot of talking but don't do anything. And he's Captain America. He gets shit done. So he doesn't have time for these other Avengers to be walking around acting like they're Avengers.
That's a pretty interesting take.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have gotten any of that, like, ordering that book in the previews.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, they kept Axis kind of under wraps as far as that.
Yeah.
So that was good on their part.
I am in love with this Captain America, even though I know it's a unique Captain America, because it's what I want.
And temporary.
But not what possibly. You want.
But not what I want. But I still love it that Marvel did that to me.
I love this. This is 100% what I don't want.
No, not 100. It's like 50-50. So anyways, that's Captain America and the Mighty Avengers.
All right.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Cool.
Spider-Man's still trying to, by the way... apologize for everything that Dr. Octopus did. So he's still not over that.
That's going to take some time.
Yeah.
Doc Ock kind of fucked a lot of things up.
Yeah. Because apparently in the Mighty Avengers, Dr. Ock, Superior Spider-Man, actually called Child Protective Services to get Luke Cage's child taken away from that family.
Mm.
So obviously Luke Cage is not happy about that, especially the new greedy Luke Cage.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Do it, Lou. Do it.
Oh, what, just because I'm to Leander's left, I go next? Yeah, that's how we've done it. All right.
Well, I can go next if you want.
You know me. No superheroes over here. We got Shaft number one.
Oh, yeah.
I was so excited. You and I were the only ones who ordered
it. We are the only people in the entire store who got Shaft number one.
Shaft.
All right. So, yeah, it was pretty good. I like it. It's a young John Shaft. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Shaft's backstory. I know I'm sure as shit not.
The real Shaft, too. Not this isn't Sammy
not
Jackson.
That Samuel L. Jackson, no. This is, I guess, the backstory of the classic Shaft. And you know what? I really expected this book to be a little bit more of a joke than it is. The writing's not bad. You know, first issue, he's... like, he was a boxer, and it just gives you his backstory, and he went to Nam, and he comes back, and there's, you know, a crime boss that wants him to throw a fight. You know, it's not the most original storyline ever, but it's just, it really reads like a crime book. Mm-hmm. I'm really into crime books. I loved Criminal and a lot of the Brubaker stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of in that vein, you know, it's like a gritty late 60s crime story. And, you know, there's obviously some offensive shit in here.
Right.
But, you know, like, yeah, overall it's pretty good. So it's kind of like a character study a little bit, and gives you the background and just sort of, like, sets the scene. There's no real plot yet. There's right. no,
is,
you know.
Is the last panel like, oh, here's, I can't wait for more backstory from the issue number two, or... last panel, oh, and that's what happened, which leads into this master villain. That's why we're fighting everything right now.
It definitely gives you... all right, look, you know what's going to happen. There's a crime boss, and Shaft's going to get even with him.
Okay.
But the cool thing is, like, one of the other guys who works for the crime boss, he grew up with, and he taught him how to fight, and he taught him how to box. And it's a cool scene at the end, because Shaft doesn't throw the fight. And... obviously, the crime boss hates it when you don't throw the fight. We've all seen Pulp Fiction.
Yes,
So what he does is he gets this guy that taught Shaft how to fight. He has him. He's like, all right, take him out back. You know, teach him a lesson. And, like, he just roughs him up a little bit. But he's having flashbacks as the guy's roughing him up about how he grew up with him and he taught him how to fight and taught him never to back down from a fight and not to take no shit from nobody and all that. So he goes easy on him, mm-hmm. and he's just like, you better lay low. You owe me one. And, you know, so it's like, he's down, man. Like, at the end, he's like, he's down.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's some real storytelling. So, you know, I thought it was going to be just like, ha-ha.
Right.
Shaft. But it's serious. Not. Yeah, no, it's not. Serious. I think the guy's really trying to tell a story here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah. I would recommend it.
Okay, cool. And it's a Dynamite comic,
yeah,
right?
Dynamite number one. And there, let me tell you, there are more covers for this, like alternate covers, than there probably will be issues.
that might be true.
We get from cover A to cover N.
Wow.
Yep.
Every single possible variant cover. It's so ridiculous. But yeah, they're probably printed more of these than they're
going to. Yeah, put a lot of work into that.
Yeah. Well, except for the blank cover, man. Well, yeah, what a ripoff. Oh, we just didn't put anything on this one, you suckers.
Get me cover G with nothing on it.
So that I can meet David Walker, author, and Bilquis Evely at a con somewhere and have them draw me a new cover. Because they definitely have fucking time to do that. Sorry, those covers are so stupid. Anyway, I digress. It's decent. Pick it up. Check it out.
I don't mind those covers if you actually get that artist to draw you something on that
cover.
Yeah,
what are the odds you're going to do
that? Yeah. I've seen people do it, but it's very rare. It's usually people buy those blank ones and it's like, I'm going to draw my character on this. I'm like, your character has nothing to do with that book.
Like,
I don't get that. I think that's dumb.
That's silly.
That is dumb. And you know what? I bet artists hate it. I bet, like, before this, everyone just came up with the book at the con and was like, hey, will you sign my Shaft number one? And he was like, sure. And now they all come up with the blank covers. They're right. Like, will you do an entire day's worth of work on this cover?
I mean, depending
so how... So it'll be worth something?
I saw a guy get David Finch to draw him a headshot of Batman on one of those covers. And I don't think he cared too much because I think it was like $100 for him to do it. So I guess depending on your level of how good you are and how much stock people have in you, it all comes back to that. So, you know, David Finch, top of the artist food chain, he's charging $100 or whatever for a headshot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want a whole fucking thing drawn out elaborately, it's probably like $200-$300.
Yeah, it probably is, but I mean...
And there are people that probably want that.
Do they do it while you're in line? Yeah, or they'd be
right
like,
then and there,
oh,
man.
That's going to be a long-ass line if every single guy wants the entire, you know...
I've seen
drawing done.
I've seen like I was in line for George Perez once, and people wanted, and he'll be like, "Does anybody want a sketch?" And they'll go through the line. If you want a sketch, go up. He'll start your sketch, and then he'll just take 10 people who just want signatures and go back to the sketch.
Wow!
But I was in that line forever. But that's like George Perez is like amazing. Like that's one of those ones that you expect to be in line. Every now and then, like I met like J.G. Jones. I just walked up to his table. I'm like, "You're so good. Why is there no line?"
Yeah,
man, it just depends.
Like, I can't say I wouldn't want that because I love like original art and I love all that stuff. But I would also be really mad if I had just wanted a signature or something and had to wait behind, you know, some guy who is getting the entire cover. Like, he already drew the cover. Why don't you just buy that one, asshole?
You gotta draw it.
Gotta draw it again for you.
It's one of a kind, but not really.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, that's my diatribe on incentive covers.
Well, I agree with you. My first review is a Boom number one, and this is exactly what you think it would be.
Oh, yeah.
Escape from New York. Mm. The classic Kurt Russell vehicle. I didn't really care for this book. This is what you thought Shaft would be.
Okay.
Now, that being said, this isn't garbage, but it has that feel. But, like, you know, like in the movies, they're always like, "I thought you were dead, Snake." Like, they say it like 16 times in the fucking first issue. And I'm like, all right. But, like, the feel of the character is 100% correct. If you just want this Kurt Russell-looking character blowing the fuck up out of everything, pissing off the president, like panel one, you know, then this is your book. It's not, like, unfaithful to the mythos of Escape from New York and, I guess, Escape from L.A. But it wasn't insanely good either. I mean, I just casually like those movies, so for me, this was kind of like, it's all right. They have the correct feel, but I wasn't blown away with it. I'm not going to read issue two. I probably won't even keep issue one. I'll probably sell it. So it's like, you know. But it was good. If you, like, die hard, love Escape from New York and all those, you listen to the Escape from L.A. soundtrack every day in the work, which, believe me, that soundtrack is the most redeeming quality of that movie.
Oh, who's on that? Because I feel like that was probably...
It was all 90s industrial kind of stuff.
Yeah, remember
when... Tool, Stabbing Westward.
Sure.
It had a Deftones song on it I loved. Clutch.
Remember when soundtracks were a thing?
Dude, soundtracks used to be a thing.
Huge.
Yeah, that kids.
We're gonna make a big sound. Like, the soundtracks were bigger deals than the movies they were from sometimes.
Uh-huh. Usually. And it was funny, like, I don't know, definitely, Escape from L.A., go on your Spotify's and see if it's there. Probably not, but it had a decent soundtrack. I was in Toys R Us today with the wife doing Christmas shopping, which is the biggest fucking mistake ever, because me going to Toys R Us, that's a 20-minute trip, and 10 minutes of that is me dropping a deuce, okay? I was there for, like, 3 hours. It was terrible, but one thing that caught my eye, and I thought of this because of soundtracks... In the, like, little kid toy section, there's, like, a replica of an old Fisher-Price, like, record player.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And it's functional and everything. And I'm like, what kid is going to want that and know what the fuck it is? And I don't even think it came with, like, fake records to play or, like, anything like that.
Dude, no, because hipsters are having kids now.
Yeah.
So hipsters are going to be like...
Oh, my son already listens to vinyl.
Yeah, that's... Exactly.
He was into vinyl in the womb.
Because that's so fits, like, that's like your retro, like, yeah. Oh, this is the vinyl player I had when I grew up. It's like, no, that's just, you know, that's because you didn't have a tape player yet. Yeah.
Shit.
I had the Fisher Price one.
Yeah.
If I had it now, I could probably put it on eBay and sell it to a hipster.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I could definitely see that, like, happening.
I didn't look at it that way. Yeah. I was surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that are in Toys R Us. Go ahead, Leander. What else you got?
What? All right. I'll do two very quickly. One is the Grayson. I'm almost over it. It's it's like the cover looks really interesting, right?
Based on me listening to our podcast about the guns hands guy,
yes,
I really didn't.
It only gets worse.
I didn't even think it you were going to last till issue four. Honestly,
worse. It only gets worse.
How did it turn out with that
guy? It now becomes like he's just this hunky guy in like an all girls academy, and these characters on the cover are just girls who saw him with his shirt off and decided they want to go chase him down and have fun with him.
Are you kidding me?
And that's it. That's all it is.
Is it like, ooh, a man?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Oh, God. That's exactly what it is. So, unfortunately, I'm going to have to go ahead and cancel that because I'm over my preteens and I think I don't need to read this anymore.
So many abs, she says.
Yes, that's what she says.
So many abs.
And so they get this plan together to go catch him. And so this whole idea is that Grayson's being chased by these girls, and he likes to thrill the chase because he used to be chased all the time. And I don't know, it's dumb. Anyways, I'm over it.
That has to be a joke.
It was supposed to be short, so I'm gonna keep it short. Don't ever pick up Grayson ever again. Oh, DC, I did everything I could to stay with you, and I am now over you completely.
What's funny is Nightwing is one of my favorite characters, and I was over this book on issue two.
Yeah. I tried.
I gave you credit, man. Yeah, you made it farther.
I tried.
Farther than I did.
Just for DC, I tried.
I think you got to. There has to be a DC book for you.
Well, it's not. Or
maybe
Grayson.
It's Swamp Thing, because I mentioned it.
Maybe.
Swamp Thing.
So anyways, I'm letting that go. The other quick one is Carnage, number 1 and 2.
The Axis.
The Axis, yep. Here's what I would say, because you guys are my friends out there that I'm talking to right now. Don't buy it. It's just that it's not that it's horrible, and I'm gonna finish it because it's only what 3 or 4 issues.
I think it's three. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm already at number 2. So why not get number 3 and be done with it? It's basically Carnage also went through this whole Axis situation, so he's switched around.
He's a hero, right?
He's a hero. But here's the thing, and I think this is the situation with every character that got switched around. They know they're switched around.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to control it. They don't know how to, like...
So is the inner monologue kind of like, I want to eat her brains?
Yes. So they're having, like, great conversations. And then the next panel is, like, he slices his girl in half. But that was just in his mind.
Mm.
And then he goes, like, oh, yeah, you know, has a regular conversation with the girl.
I don't want to see Carnage like that.
I know. It was really difficult. And I think that is if it, for him especially, I think for Carnage more so than all the other ones, you almost feel bad for him. You're like, oh, it's so unfair.
If
why
he could just
can't
slice
you do
her.
Yeah, be happy. Slice her in half. Do what you want to do.
That's great.
So the idea is that he doesn't know how to be a hero.
Mm-hmm.
So he kidnaps this reporter who reports on heroes and seems to have a good sense of like what it is to be a good hero. But the fact of the matter is that she's a complete word that's very offensive to women.
What?
And so she actually doesn't know how to be here at all because she's basically a semi-villain herself because, you know, she's like, I don't really care. I'm just doing this for her ratings. And like one of the news reporters died recently. She's like, oh, I'm crying on camera. As soon as the camera's over, she's like, yeah, I want his job. Like, I don't really care. I just cried to get the ratings.
Right.
So she's that kind of a woman.
Hmm.
Whatever word you want to use to describe that kind of woman. So I don't know. I wouldn't buy it, period. But I'll read number 3, and if it ends strongly, I'll let you know.
Did you read the Hobgoblin one?
No. Mm-mm.
I like that one, and it's funny. Like, we said that this one was probably going to be the good one, and it didn't.
It really isn't. Mm-mm.
But I have to finish the Hobgoblin one to see how it's just so weird, the Hobgoblin one.
Yeah, and I would say this is weird, too. But I think if I can see how it ends, I might be happier with it.
Yeah,
and then go back and read all 3 one more time and just to make sure. But as of right now, until I give you the review, don't buy it.
Sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I didn't listen to any of that. Because you didn't know how bad it was? I've been reading this Grayson. This is fucking terrible.
I told you it was terrible.
It would be sexist if it wasn't so stupid.
Right.
Like, if even, like, no one could even take it seriously.
And even sexist to who? I don't even know who loses.
Well, I'll read a passage. So, what do you suggest we do with this? And they have a bunch of pictures of him spread out on their bed.
Shirtless.
It's simple, Paris.
Movies that end great like that, though.
I suggest we mount a manti raid. That is a real line in a published work of fiction.
Yes.
And I use the term loosely. You gotta be fucking kidding me with this shit.
I know.
How did this... Does anyone read this? Do they have editors here at DC?
Nope, what they don't.
Who is the editor? Let's find out.
Let's find out. Someone's gotta go down.
Someone's gotta pay. For
someone's
this.
Gotta go down. Editor Mark Doyle.
At the name of the look at the name of the comic, the issue, The Raid.
The Raid.
It's just like that movie, The Raid Redemption. I swear.
But they meant to say the Manti Raid.
The Manti Raid. Yeah,
the Manti Raid.
That's the only thing the editor did. Is like, let's save the Manti Raid line for page 7. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
You really saved this fucking pile of trash.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. So yeah, unless you're in your preteens, feel free to pick it up. But if you're not, then don't read this. So, all right, that's it for me.
That's shockingly bad.
Lou?
It went down so fast. Like, you liked the first issue.
I did.
The first couple issues. The third one
even
was Gunhand Guy.
And even I was okay with that for a little bit.
And that just, off a cliff.
Completely to Manti Raids. Went straight to Manti Raids.
Will you read one more issue? I'll buy you the issue.
Because what if they just, they just get worse and worse.
I want to know.
Any worse than this?
I will buy you the issue.
The next one's basically like a Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
The next issue's already out. The next number 5 is in my bin right now.
Oh, is it? I'll buy it for you.
Ouch.
Yeah, isn't that painful? It was painful.
Now, let me ask you this. If the next issue is fucking amazing, what do you do?
Oh, my gosh.
What do you do?
There's no way. There's no way you can go from Manti Raid to, a real comic again. Like, it's a one-way street.
Here's the thing, though. They already brought back, what's that other Batman, the gay Batman you talked about, Tim, that you said is a gay Batman? No, wait, that's not gay Batman.
I don't know what you're talking about. The
one in the issue where you're like, oh, he's an openly gay Batman. He's a clone.
A clone?
Oh my god, you kill me. How do you not know this?
I remember.
The very second issue was him fighting the Batman, and you said, it's so cool they brought this Batman back. Oh my god.
He's not Batman!
There was so much work. He's basically Batman.
No, he's not at all Batman.
Let's put that costume person next to Batman, and you tell me that they don't look exactly the same. So please continue your story.
First of all,
I'm upset.
He's not supposed to be Batman.
Tell everyone who you're talking about.
Midnighter.
Okay.
He started as an Image character in Stormwatch. Right. Warren Ellis made him relevant in The Authority. Mm-hmm. When they merged everything, all the Wildstorm characters came to DC.
Right.
He has zero to do with Batman all these fucking years.
He compared him to Batman.
You said it was a comparison.
I remember it now.
Oh my god.
You did. You compared him.
You know what?
Well, you shouldn't
you
have
said
done
he
that.
Was like.
You confused
but he's
everyone.
Not a Batman, though. You said the clone of Batman. That's not him.
Well, that's how you described
it. It was just him as a guy.
Listen, this podcast is over.
Take a minute.
This relationship is over. You can tell your wife I'm
that's
dying.
That's fine. It's not a relationship.
He's not coming for Christmas.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
No, he's not.
All right. I know it looks like I have another book here to review, but I don't.
What?
This is Deadpool 38, and I didn't read it. I just bought it on my watch shaft.
I wanted to see it.
And I didn't. I actually need to catch up on all the Deadpool that I got because I added it a little while ago. But I will talk briefly about Witches number 2, which I did read the other night. And it's still pretty good.
Okay.
Like, it's a solid story. I reviewed the first one a couple weeks ago, and I liked where it was going. I liked the art. Art's still good. Story's still good. It's picking up a little bit. Like, they actually, the girl, the main character, Sailor, basically the thing attacked her at the end of the first one, and now she's got, like, this, like, some kind of growth or something on her neck.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty, like, gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a certain point, she keeps having visions, and she kind of, like, loses her shit, steals a school bus from her school, and, like, drives out, like, into the woods.
Into the marsh
where Leander works. And she saw a friend of her dad's is like riding by and he sees her just drive by in a school, like driving a school bus. And he's like, what the hell? And then he like goes around and follows her and they end up in the woods. And that's where they actually encounter the, I guess, the witches or whatever creatures they are out mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where it leaves off. And it's just visually really good. I mean, they're like hideous beast things, but they're also like, it's weird. It's like they're sort of like an alien looking thing, but also with this like trollish type, you know, stature that they're out there. And cool stuff happens. Like there's a backstory with the mom. Like apparently the mom got in an accident. She's in a wheelchair, and you get some flashback scenes that she may have, it kind of hints that she might have encountered one of these things at one point. And that's why they're sort of tied in with the family and weird stuff keeps happening. So shit hits the fan. Like the first issue was set up and it was cool. This issue, things happen quickly. Like everyone's sort of in a bad place at the end of issue two. So,
are the witch characters, are they smart? Are they intelligent? Are they like they mindless?
They're definitely bestial. Don't know if they definitely have a culture around them where it's like, they keep using the word like pledged, like people are pledged to the witches. Yeah. And I think that means fed to the witches. Mm. Like these creatures have to eat humans. But they also reward people who pledge others. So it's basically like you sacrifice someone to these things and you definitely get something in return. Mm. But it's cool. 'Cause there's definitely a system of rules to how everything works and people who are aware of this whole, you know, culture and mythos and, you know, what's really happening. And then there's like, you know, the outsiders who are just sort of victims. So it's cool. I like where it's going. I definitely recommend it. Loving the artwork. Definitely pick it up. Which is number two.
Nice. Right. Good to hear.
I like it.
I like number one, so I'm glad to hear that.
You hear that, Grayson?
Yeah, Grayson. You're a piece of shit. This is why I don't read superhero books, guys.
But that's what happened. That's really not even, though.
It's a guy just running around shirtless. I just don't,
like... It's a Monty raid. No superheroics here. Because
you can't trust this stuff. It seems good, and it just... That's not the only time that happens. Yeah, like, books just... They just abandon them. They just don't care. Mm. And then, like, something that starts cool, they don't put the effort into, or they change the writers, or they change the team, and you just...
They didn't do that here, though. Like, Tim Seeley's actually a fairly big name. It's really shocking.
He's phoning it in.
He's totally phoning it in. And he writes and draws, so I don't know what he's doing on this book. But I have one more book, and then we'll wrap this up. I got Hellboy and the BPRD, number one. It takes place in 1952, and it is early Hellboy adventures. If you like Hellboy, you must read this. It is very, very good. If you ever thought about getting into Hellboy but didn't, like after you saw the movies or the animated stuff they did, maybe you just like Ron Perlman a lot, I don't know. But if you ever wanted to read something Hellboy and you didn't know where to start, this is a very good book to pick up. It's still the original writer, Mike Mignola. It has art by Alex Maleev, I always forget how you pronounce it, but he's known for his Daredevil work, amongst other things, with Bendis. It's his first adventure ever. The story of that, which has apparently never been told. Hmm. And it takes place with some World War II vets after World War II. They're dropped off in Brazil, and they're going to go to a neighboring country because there's a haunted abandoned prison that they're going to investigate. And it doesn't give you a lot. It more sets up the emotional dynamic of the team because it's not modern day, you know? They're
right.
These old warbirds flying in and all that. But Hellboy, they show you how they found him, which I think has been done in the comics. But he hates... Like, they take care of him, they treat him good, everybody's nice to him, they all like him. But, like, he hates being captive and out of sight and, like... They're just like, fuck it, just go on the mission. Just go ahead. I can't deal with it anymore. I know you're miserable. Just go. Be part of the team. And they're all kind of like, oh, really? Like, shouldn't we talk about this? They're like, no, just fucking take them. And there's a woman who asked for them to come to investigate this prison. And the the priest that is there apparently is very unhappy that they're there, so I'm sure it's going to be all kinds of weird paranormal kind of things, but they're part of a paranormal division, and it's kind of how you can get away with some of the international incidents and things in this book, is because it's paranormal, and even if it's like, go assassinate that motherfucker over there, it's like, no, we're investigating paranormal shit going on. So that's kind of like the premise of the book, and one of the people on the team might be kind of an asshole, so we'll see where it goes, but they set it up where somebody might not be who they say they are.
Interesting.
It is interesting to see young Hellboy. He's not quite a smartass, but he's not, like, incompetent either.
Right.
He just doesn't know any better. He doesn't know anything. He's going to learn all in the field in this book. I really enjoyed it. So if you like Hellboy and you want to check it out.
I'm more on the latter where I don't know anything about him and I didn't really care about him, so I'm interested.
I've read some of the early Hellboy stuff, but not a lot. I never really followed it, and I do really like the character. So I think this is definitely something people should check out.
Cool. All right.
Well, that is it. You guys got anything else you want to throw out there into the ether
of podcast world? Just that my first session of D&D 5th edition is happening on Sunday, and I'm really excited. Ooh, yes, yeah. And I'm going to be DMing. So that should be cool. I'm excited about that.
Heard good things about that 5th edition.
So, yeah, I'm excited. I'll get to geek out and be nerdish for a little bit.
As opposed to now, you know, serious business going on now.
All business.
Right. Correct.
None of that geek crap up in this podcast. Are you guys going to come to my chili cook-off tomorrow?
I can't.
So, funny story about chili. I got home yesterday. I go to the wife. I'm like, man, Lou invited me to chili cook-off. That sounds awesome. She goes, oh. She had made us chili that night. All the chili stuff was gone. I was very sad.
Well, you can still come.
I can still come, yeah. I can probably still come.
All right.
But
I might have one friend. All right. Sweet.
Well, I think that's what happens, though. When you feel like you can't make chili, you feel like you can't go.
That's not what happens.
That's what boat I'm in. I'm like, oh, well, I don't want to go now because I can't make chili.
I am half tempted to get more stuff and make chili. But I wanted to. That was the thing. Like, I'm like, oh, I got all that shit at home. I make good chili. I want to do this. And I'm like, she never makes fucking chili.
What are the odds?
She never makes it. I was like, oh. I was so sad. And then I'm like, well, all right. What if I make chili? What if I bring my spicy, kick-ass, crazy chili? Or even if I eat some of Lou's chili.
Eat some of mine.
All these other people's chili. We're gonna
have other people.
I'm going to shit my brains out. Chili has a very specific effect on me.
Well, there'll be whiskey.
That'll help.
I'm just trying to sweeten the pot here.
He says a magic word.
Free fucking food's not enough. We gotta get some whiskey down this man's throat.
He'll do anything for you.
Why are you turning on me? Why?
I just want to see you. I just want to see you.
I'm right here.
I didn't come to your house for Thanksgiving. Leander did.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Now we're going to bring this up. Oh, my gosh.
He has no family here. He has no family. What was he to do?
You're just our redheaded stepson over there, Lou.
Oh, fine.
Can't bring
all right,
you.
Lou.
That's fine.
You want to come to my parents' house for Christmas?
You get him for Christmas.
See, if I had Lou around my... Especially my three-year-old, you would lose your mind in 5 seconds. It is so hard to watch a toddler with autism. It's horrible.
I've been there. I've been in your house.
I know. But you haven't seen.
You haven't been to the house.
You don't know, man.
You've seen the holidays.
Yeah.
I don't even, like, I don't even like this podcast anymore. I just need to get out of the house.
Well, on that note.
Fuck all of you. No, I'm just kidding.
The band is breaking up.
Oh, no.
Help.
Help.
I need somebody.
I need someone.
Oh, help. God, stop.
It's the greatest idea ever.
We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Yep. Adios.
So, why is this legitimate again? Why are you doing this? Oh, okay.
My favorite part about that is you actually turned on the microphone and are actually recording this.
Why did I do that?
I saw many, many, so number 5.
I saw it later. That level's going to be really high because I held it right up to my mouth.
I'm like, did he mean to do that?